This morning we learn how to unfetter and unclutter our wife by learning how and why to transition to a tiny home. You know, if you want to. Do you feel as though you're living in an expensive and ill-fitting home filled with too much stuff? Do you have too much space filled with too many things, constantly dealing with house maintenance and financial upkeep? Well, living in a tiny house could be the solution, but it could not be. How do you know? Tiny house guru Pat Forman examines the hows and whys of tiny home living to help you assess whether it's the right solution for you. She has a new book. It is called A Tiny Home to Call Your Own, and we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Pat Forman, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, well, thank you, Joe, so much for having me on the air. It's an honor.
Well, it's very nice to have you. So your background fascinates me. So how does a pharmacist get in this business?
Oh, dear. Yes, retire early and often has been one of my life mottos. And, Joe, for me, whether I'm a pharmacist or an animal scientist, I also have a degree in genetics and nutrition from Purdue in animal science, or a class A contractor. We had built the America's first tiny house construction company. It's all the same subject in my book, and that's about living a happy, optimally healthy, sustainable life. And they all tie in, and they work together.
So when did tiny homes and this idea of tiny home living come onto your radar?
It was in the early 90s. I've always been fascinated by living right. And again, one person's small might be another person's large, and it's all so relative, so it has to be self-defined. But we were interested in, we did a conservation subdivision, developed that, and we wanted to put smaller homes in it. And so we decided to start the tiny home construction company. And what we found was that the zoning and the financing literally put us out of business. Joe, it was like no one wanted to have it in their backyard, or they thought that living small and having smaller houses was poor. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, some of the houses we built were high craftsman quality. I mean, if you want to lead a handcrafted life, live in a handcrafted home. You know, so that's kind of how it got started.
And roughly what year was this?
It was in the early 90s.
Okay, early 90s. So This movement has taken off since then and
has
really become very popular. There are whole shows dedicated to tiny homes. So What is it about it, do you think, that attracted people to the movement?
I think it's the demographics, because what's happening is back in the 60s, there were about 72% of all adults were married. So they wanted the American dream home, you know, three bedrooms, two baths, two car garage. But fast forward now about 50 years to 2016, and we've got about 45% of adults over 18 are all single. But even more dramatic than that, from the 2017 estimates, about 35 million people live alone in one house. So the whole American family structure, I think, has changed, and it needs a different kind of house style, house size, and house options.
Does it come?
I think there's more to it than that. I mean, Joe. Just
sure.
Also, we're finding that the millennials, they're renting. They would just as soon not be, for the most part, hunkered down with a mortgage, especially with dealing with college debt. And then so many older baby boomers are either single or widowed, or so they just don't need that big a house.
Do you think it also comes as a backlash to McMansions and even to the economic downturn in 2008?
Well, yes. I think all that plays a part of it. We're losing our middle class, and so many people that I know are just having to work two jobs just to keep even. So they need to live not smaller, but more economically at least. And the economics have a huge thing to deal with it, of course.
You know, I have to say, and this maybe this is, let me just tell you my thought on this, and then you tell me why I'm wrong. which is...
just a different perspective. There's no right or wrong.
Okay. So I'm 6'6". I'm a big guy. I'm not going to tell you my weight because you're a pharmacist and worried about healthy living, and I'm afraid you'll judge me. But I'm a big guy.
Yeah, but you've got great dimples.
Well, thank you.
I love your dimples.
Aren't you sweet? Thank you. But the question is, you know, so I look at this idea and think, my God, I'm not sure my thigh could fit into a tiny home.
Well, of course, the tiny is relative. We kind of arbitrarily describe and don't snap a chalk line on these numbers.
Okay.
But generally, a mini mansion like you were talking about is around 4,000 square feet
right.
and above. A typical family house of two-car garage, two bathrooms, three bedrooms, around 1,200 to 2,000 square feet. And I'm defining a tiny house as about 500 to 800 square feet. And then we built even tiny, tiny homes, which were around 225 to 500 square feet.
Now,
so
that
and I
seems
live in
like
about 750 square feet, and that includes my office slash bedroom, two cats, a 40-pound dog, and about 16 chickens in the backyard in their coop.
Well, that's great. No, that's great. Is there a point, and again, I apologize for how this is going to sound, but I mean, is there a point where it seems like, is there a fine line between a tiny home and a prison cell?
No. I don't think you can even compare them.
Okay. I mean, meaning that we when we punish people, we put them in a small surroundings. And if
oh,
you...
see, yeah.
Okay.
I gotcha.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, let me respond from my perspective. I can't speak for everybody, of course, but from my perspective, there's something magical about living in a smaller space. It's like my perception set at a different level. Things are simplified because you can't live in a small home and be cluttered. That might be where you think of the prison thing. It's, I can't find anything. But you gotta deal with your stuff before you move in a small house. But so I can hear the wind blow outside. I get some different sense of perception. Little things happen in my peripheral vision. I don't know. Our culture, I think, really doesn't have a vocabulary for living in a small and tiny house, but cozy is not it. It's something different than that.
Now, so, with all of that said, I mean, I live in a one-floor ranch with one bedroom. It's a small house. My wife, mm-hmm. my dog, and I. It's very
right.
small. But then it becomes, so then this is what I want to talk to you about of, because the subtitle I think is really, it's a tiny home, but to call your own. And that's the idea, to make that house into a home and for it to be as comfortable and purposeful as it possibly can be. And that's on
right.
us, right?
That's correct.
So how do we achieve that?
You have to deal with your stuff. There's no way around it. I mean, in our consumer society, and you know, we have to have the GMP expanding every year, gross national product expanding, and presence and all this. But over the years, that stuff accumulates to where it's clutter. And in living smaller, any little thing out of place can make it look cluttered. And what's interesting, when I was researching this book, I found that clutter, the average person in America spends about 30 minutes a day looking for something. You know, 5 minutes for the glasses, 10 minutes for the keys.
Oh,
what I do with this? Yeah. Well, that lines up to about 7.5 weeks a year of just looking for stuff. So from when I realized that, I realized that for myself, the stakes were really high in getting myself organized and getting my stuff in a way that serves me and I can find it. And the stuff that I don't use, that's where it's beautiful here in America. I didn't throw out anything. Whatever couldn't be, what I couldn't use or my family couldn't use, went to Habitat for Humanity or Goodwill. There's these secondary markets. Or consignment shops that let people, you know, you can go in and literally for pennies on the dollar get something that you really need. So I don't feel like I have to hoard things the way my parents did because I might someday use them. I feel like I can always go to one of these other stores, the secondhand stores, and find them for pennies on the dollar.
Am I hearing you right to say that the reason you believe that you can't find stuff is things is because you have too much stuff?
I'm still dealing with it, and that has been my case, yes.
Because
when
I find...
Construction...
The only thing I was going to say is that as I get older, mm-hmm. I find myself, I'm always looking for my keys, but my keys can often be in my hand. My glasses
right.
are on my head. My computer is in my hand, and yet I still can't find it. I'm just wondering, no matter how little stuff I have, I think I'm still going to screw this up.
Well, Joe, we have nutrients for this that will help your
See, there's where the pharmacy degree comes in.
That's where pharmacy, well, actually nutrition
yes.
comes in even more so than pharmacy, quite frankly. But yeah, well, that's a matter of consciousness, isn't it? And just being aware of what's what and what's where.
Right.
But yeah, I've done exactly that, Joe. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's embarrassing.
It is. Now, let's talk about the environmental impact here. That is a huge part of this. Many people who go down this road that I know of, friends of mine who have done this, that's why they do it. They want to use less energy. They perhaps want to be off the grid. And mm-hmm. this is an easier way of doing it.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, less building costs, less I mean, the list just goes on and on about how living smaller can give you a bigger life. The electric bills are less. All the utilities are less. The heating, oh gosh, cleaning, repairs. It just goes right down the list.
When you think of the idea of the tiny homes, and one of the things that you talk about in the book is the communities of tiny homes. And, mm-hmm. and what do you think is the benefit of that, of communities of like-minded people who are in a community and who are all sort of in this together?
Yes. I think, excuse me.
No problem.
I think it's a great idea, and I think it's an idea whose time has not yet come because the zoning and the financing are against it. At least that's why we, when we developed our conservation subdivision, had to go with regular size houses because we couldn't get a loan to build the smaller houses on the 2 acre lots, 2 acre lottage. So there are tiny house communities that are popping up across the U.S. I think that the demand and the people that want to do it are increasing. There's one beautiful example in Austin, Texas, that literally provided housing for the homeless. And they have a mix of people that are there to rent, as well as some of the homeless people. All the former homeless people have jobs. It's a wonderful place to visit and to see what they do. They have gardens, community gardens. They've got a community flock. They've got livestock. And to do the designs, which were remarkable, they had a national contest with architects to design these little tiny homes. No two are the same. And then they had builders donate supplies to build them. So that's a nice model to go forward with. And they also, by the way, have community bathrooms to decrease the cost of building and getting the people more together. So I'm not sure if that answered your question or
well,
not.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure it's answerable. But the other thing, one of the things I can say is if you're going to have a little tiny house, like you just want an adjacent one from maybe that son or a daughter named Boomerang that keeps coming back, you know, from whatever or whatever. There's like 17 different reasons why you could have a tiny house. If you're going to have it on a property and it's not allowed zoning, or don't call it anything but a house. That's what we learned. Is you can put it on skids. You can call it a shed. You can go ahead and call it a workshop or an office. But that's about the only way in a lot of places legally that you can get it through. And it's sort of on the blind legally.
So yeah. we only have about a minute left. But I am why is that the case? I mean, I would think if you're first of all, it's your land. You can build whatever you want on it, right? Why
cannot?
But I guess what is so then? What is the concern? What is the counter argument as to a small home of what they're worried about?
Well, I think it's that snobbery kind of thing that small means poor and sloppy and trash in the yard, and that just isn't the case. We were even asked to take over a trailer park that has 10 houses per acre and then put small houses in and kind of clean it up. There have been drugs and murders. And that was one concept that we could have gotten some grants to go forward with, but it just didn't – it kind of petered out. So that might be one possibility for communities to bring in better housing.
Well, Patricia, the book is just terrific. It is A Tiny Home to Call Your Own. It is in its second edition. Living Well in Just Right Houses, and everything you could possibly think of, any questions you could have are answered in this volume. And you're trying to get rid of the clutter, but this is a nice book that would fit wonderfully in any bookcase. So New Society
Thank
is
you,
the publishers.
Joe.
Pat Forman is the author, A Tiny Home to Call Your Own. Pat, what a delight. Thank you very much. Nice to have you on the program.
Well, it's an honor again, Joe, and may your home fit your lifestyle.
Well,
that's my blessings for everyone.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.